All right, let's dive in today to a topic that's really captivated me lately, and that's neurodiversity.
Okay.
And I've been looking at this source, I guess you'd call it, called Neurodiverse Journey of Water, another oceanremix.pdf.
Yeah.
And even just the title itself, kind of has me intrigued.
Right.
So I was hoping maybe we could try to understand it together a bit. I
Sure.
mean, what do you make of it? Just initially, when you look at it, what are your first impressions?
Well, it's pretty unconventional, that's for sure. I mean, the way it's formatted, It's almost like someone just took a jumble of thoughts and threw them on the
Yeah,
page.
it's not very linear, is it?
No, not at all. It's very, very kind of scattered and random, it seems like.
And even with like the characters that pop up and things, it's kind of hard to follow.
Right. It's definitely not your typical academic paper or anything like that.
Right,
Just more
exactly.
like I don't know, poetry almost,
Sure.
or maybe like a stream of consciousness.
Yeah, and yet there's something about it that's kind of, well, poetic.
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
there's this feeling behind it, I think, that I'm drawn to.
It's like the author's trying to communicate something beyond just the words themselves.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed, I don't know if you saw this too, but it was like there's this recurring theme of water,
Oh, yeah.
like oceans and things like
Yeah,
that.
the water imagery is very prominent.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, what do you think that's about?
Well, the ocean is so vast and deep and kind of mysterious.
Right.
So maybe it's a metaphor for like the neurodivergent mind. You
Yeah.
know, like instead of thinking of neurotypical and neurodivergent as just like different, what if we thought of them as like different bodies of water?
Okay, I like that. So like what, like a river in an ocean or something?
Yeah, exactly. Like a river, it flows in a pretty straight path. It's predictable. That could be like the linear thinking that's often associated with neurotypical brains. But the
Perfect.
ocean, it's boundless, right? There are currents going in all sorts of directions. There are depths that we haven't even explored yet.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy.
And I think that kind of captures the way a neurodivergent mind might work.
So then is that also maybe why it can be like harder to
Oh,
navigate?
for sure.
Like, I mean, a river, you kind of know where it's going,
Right,
but
exactly.
an ocean, that could feel overwhelming, maybe even a little
Yeah,
scary.
absolutely.
And I feel like that kind of connects with some of the things that the author talks about in the source,
Yeah.
like about feeling misunderstood or feeling like they're like constantly trying to like fit into a world that wasn't really made for them.
Right, like trying to squeeze that vast ocean into a little tiny teacup.
Yeah.
And the source specifically mentions like struggling with social cues or feeling overwhelmed by sensory input.
Right. Yeah, it talks about that.
And those are things that, are common experiences for people with conditions like autism,
Right.
where, sensory processing works a little differently.
And so it's almost like if we're trying to understand and interact with someone neurodivergent, we need to learn like a whole new way of navigating.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it.
It's not just about like being nice or being tolerant.
No, it's about really shifting our perspective
Right.
and recognizing that, different doesn't equal deficient.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that really comes through in this source.
Yeah.
Like there's this real sense of like the author feeling like an alien
Yeah,
almost.
like they're from a different planet.
Yeah, in a world that doesn't quite get them. And it's kind of heartbreaking, actually.
It is. It's really powerful.
Yeah. And it makes you realize like how much work we still need to do
Yeah, for
to
sure.
create a world that's truly inclusive.
Absolutely. But, the source doesn't just dwell on the challenges. Oh,
And
right.
also talks about the incredible strengths and unique perspectives that neurodiversity brings to the table.
Okay, yeah, tell me more about that.
Well, for example, people with ADHD, while they often struggle with focus, they can also have this amazing ability to hyper-focus on things that really capture their interest.
Right. I've heard of that.
And that can be a huge asset in certain fields, you know?
Yeah, and what about like with dyslexia? Like I've read that, people with dyslexia, they might not excel in traditional reading and writing, but they're often really good at like thinking outside the box and
Absolutely.
seeing patterns that other people miss.
Yeah, they have this incredible ability to like connect the dots in a different way.
Right. And isn't that like kind of going back to the ocean analogy?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like there's all this like hidden depth and undiscovered treasures down there. It's not just, you know, the surface that we see.
Right. There's so much more going on beneath the waves.
Yeah.
So we've got this ocean metaphor, like vastness, complexity, hidden depths.
Mm-hmm.
But the source also uses other, like water imagery, right?
Yeah, sure.
And there's one line that really stuck with me. It says, trying to explain my thoughts is like pouring an ocean into a teacup.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I just thought, like, wow, that is such a powerful image.
It really is.
Like it really speaks to, I think, like the communication challenges that mm-hmm. a lot of neurodivergent individuals face.
Yeah, for sure.
Like their thoughts might be so expansive and interconnected, mm-hmm. but trying to put them into words, into language that other people can understand.
Right. It's like trying to capture the essence of the ocean in a single drop of water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just not possible.
You know, it makes me think about the structure of this document itself. Like maybe the author is trying to communicate something about the way their mind works.
Oh, well, yeah.
Not just through the words, but through the way the words are presented.
Like the format itself is part of the message.
Exactly. It's not a neat linear flow of thoughts. It's more like, well, an ocean.
Yeah, with waves crashing and receding and...
Yeah, and currents pulling you in different directions.
And so then that challenges us, right?
It does.
To think about communication in a whole new way.
Right. What if instead of trying to force neurodivergent communication into these neat little boxes,
mm-hmm.
we learn to appreciate its unique rhythm and flow?
Yeah. So instead of saying, like, you're not communicating clearly.
Yeah.
We could say, how can I better understand your way of expressing yourself?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about meeting people where they are.
Yeah.
And recognizing that there are many different ways of being in the world.
Right.
And that neurodiversity is a valuable part of the human tapestry.
This is giving me so much to think about already.
Me too.
I feel like I'm starting to see the ocean metaphor everywhere now.
Yeah, it's really powerful once you start to see it.
And I think it's really helping me to kind of reframe how I think about neurodiversity.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, it's not just about like differences. It's about like a whole different way of experiencing the world.
Exactly.
And I think that's really important to understand.
It is.
Especially if we want to create a world that's more, you know, inclusive and welcoming for everyone.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is really fascinating.
Well, so I'm really enjoying this conversation.
I am too. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground already.
Yeah, we have.
But there's still so much more to explore.
For sure.
So maybe we should take a little break.
Okay.
And then we can come back and dive into some of the other themes that are coming up in this source.
Yeah, I'd love to talk more about that.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, it really is amazing how one simple metaphor can just kind of, you know, open up a whole new way of thinking about things.
It really is. And it makes me think about, like, all the systems and structures that we have in place. You know, like in education and the workplace and just society in general.
Yeah.
And how those can sometimes like be barriers.
Right.
Especially for neurodivergent individuals.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like those barriers themselves become like another kind of water metaphor.
That's interesting. How do you mean?
Well, I mean, think about like how water can both nourish and erode.
Right.
So like systems can either support neurodivergent individuals or they can like kind of wear them down.
I see what you mean. So like for instance, a traditional classroom setting, right?
Mm-hmm.
With its emphasis on auditory learning and strict schedules,
right.
That can be really tough for a student with autism, for example,
yeah.
who might thrive on visual learning or who might need more flexibility.
Exactly. Or like imagine someone with ADHD.
Mm.
Trying to navigate a workplace that's all about like sustained focus and rigid task completion.
Right. It's like trying to swim upstream against a really strong current.
Yeah.
And that's where I think it becomes really important to ask, like, how can we redesign these systems?
Yeah.
So that they're more like flowing rivers, you know?
Okay, I like that.
Supporting diverse ways of learning and working and thriving.
Yeah. So what would that look like?
Well, I mean, the source hints at some solutions.
Okay.
Like incorporating more visual aids and hands-on activities in education,
mm-hmm.
or allowing for flexible work schedules and environments in the workplace.
Right, and it seems like that's something that a lot of companies are starting to recognize now.
Yeah, I think there's definitely more awareness of the need for flexibility.
But it's still a work in progress.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like we've we figured it all out yet.
No, not at all.
And I think that's where self-advocacy comes in.
Yes, definitely.
Like the source doesn't explicitly use that term.
Right.
But it really stresses the importance of neurodivergent individuals finding their voice and advocating for their needs.
Absolutely. It's about empowering individuals to say, like, this is how I learn best.
Right.
This is the kind of work environment where I can really excel.
But that's only possible, right? If the systems are actually willing to listen.
That's the key, right?
Yeah.
It's a two-way street. Systems need to change.
Yeah.
But individuals also need to feel empowered to speak up.
And that reminds me of something I read about the disability rights movement.
Okay.
And it was talking about the power of nothing about us without us.
Oh, yeah. That's a great principle.
And I feel like that applies here, too.
Absolutely.
Like, we can't create truly inclusive systems without the input and active participation of neurodivergent individuals.
Yeah, we need their voices at the table.
Right. And it's like trying to understand the ocean without ever actually diving in.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
You can study maps and charts all you want.
Right.
But you'll never really grasp its depths and currents.
Yeah. Until you experience them firsthand.
So then what does that look like in practice?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with awareness, right?
Okay.
We need to educate ourselves about different neurodivergent conditions, challenge our own assumptions and biases.
Yeah.
And be willing to listen with open minds and hearts.
And then what? Like, it feels like awareness is just the first step.
You're right. It's just the beginning.
Yeah.
From there, we can start to advocate for change within our own spheres of influence.
Okay. Yeah. So what does that mean? Like, what could that look like?
Well, maybe it's speaking up at a school board meeting about the need for more inclusive teaching practices.
Okay.
Or maybe it's advocating for flexible work arrangements within your company. You know, whatever sphere of influence you're in, there are opportunities to advocate for change.
Yeah. I love, like, small actions multiplied across communities can create this, like, powerful ripple effect. Exactly. And remember, change doesn't happen overnight.
Right. Of course.
It's an ongoing process, like the constant ebb and flow of the tide.
You know, as we're talking, I'm realizing that this ocean metaphor.
Yeah.
It's not just about understanding neurodiversity. It's also about understanding how we as individuals and as a society relate to difference itself.
That's a really profound insight, I think.
Yeah, like we often fear what we don't understand.
Yeah, that's true.
And that fear can lead to exclusion and discrimination.
It can, for sure.
But the ocean, it teaches us that diversity is essential for life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it's the variety of ecosystems, the interplay of currents and temperatures that makes the ocean such a vibrant and resilient force.
For sure.
And it's the same with human society,
that's a great
right?
step.
Like we need to embrace neurodiversity, not just because it's the quote unquote right thing to do, but because it makes us stronger, more creative, more adaptable as a species.
Beautifully put.
And speaking of strength and resilience.
Okay.
The source also touches upon the idea of finding beauty in the unconventional.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
Well, there's this passage where the author compares their thoughts to a jumbled seashell collection.
Okay.
You know, full of unique shapes and textures.
Right.
And they talk about how other people might see it as messy or chaotic, but they find beauty in its complexity.
I love that image.
It's really beautiful, isn't it?
It is.
And it speaks to the importance of reframing how we view neurodiversity.
Right, exactly.
Like instead of focusing on what might be perceived as deficits or disorders, we can choose to see the unique beauty and potential in every individual.
That's so important.
It's like looking at a piece of abstract art.
Okay.
Some people might say, I don't get it. Just a bunch of random colors and shapes. But other people might see like a profound expression of emotion.
Yeah.
A unique perspective on the world.
Absolutely. It's all about perspective.
And maybe, just maybe, by embracing that jumbled seashell collection of neurodiversity, we can start to create a world that's more beautiful, more interesting, more just for everyone.
I love that, and it makes me think about how we so often try to categorize and label everything,
right,
especially when it comes to the human mind.
Yeah, like we want to put everything in its neat little box.
But the ocean defies categorization.
It does.
It's wild. It's unpredictable. It's full of surprises.
And that's what makes it so awe-inspiring, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you never know what you're going to find.
And that's what makes it so exciting to explore.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good way to think about neurodiversity too.
I agree.
Like, let's approach it with the same sense of wonder and curiosity that we would approach the vast, mysterious ocean.
Let's be open to the unexpected, willing to get a little wet, and ready to discover the incredible treasures that lie beneath the surface.
I love that. That's a beautiful way to put it.
Thank you.
Yeah, this has been a really amazing conversation.
Me too. I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah, and I feel like we've just scratched the surface.
Oh, for sure.
But I think we've laid some good groundwork.
Yeah, we have.
For continuing to explore this really important topic.
Absolutely. And I hope our listeners will continue to explore it with us.
Yeah, I hope so too.
There's so much more to learn and discover.
All right, well, I think we're going to have to leave it there for now.
Okay.
But thank you so much for joining me on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
And we hope you'll join us again next time.
We'll see you then.
You know, as we've been kind of wading through all these ideas about neurodiversity, I keep coming back to the power of language.
Okay.
And how, like, the words that we use can really shape our understanding.
Yeah, for sure.
And even, like, the source document itself, it's so unique.
Right.
In its structure and its phrasing. It's almost like the author had to invent a new language to express their experience.
That's a really interesting point, yeah.
And it makes me think about, like, all the different terms that we use
when
we talk about neurodiversity and how those terms can be, well, they can be loaded, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we're talking about disorders, or are we talking about differences, or are we talking about deficits, or are we talking about strengths?
Yeah.
Even the term neurotypical,
it
can feel kind of like clinical, you know.
It does. It's very sort of medical.
Yeah, like it sets up this binary of normal versus other.
Yeah, and I think that's something we need to be really mindful of. Like, what message are we sending with the language that we use?
Right, exactly.
Are we framing neurodiversity as something to be fixed or something to be celebrated?
And I love how the source puts it.
All right.
Says, we are not waves crashing against the rocks of conformity. We are the tide constantly reshaping the shore.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's very powerful.
And it's so, like, empowering, you know?
It is. It really flips the script.
Yeah. It's like we're not broken. We're not trying to fit in. We're a force of nature.
Yeah. And we're shaping the world around us.
And that reminds me of a time when I was working on a project with a colleague who had ADHD. And I'll admit, at first I was a little bit, like, worried about how their tendency to kind of jump between ideas would impact our workflow. But what I discovered was that their, what some people might call distractibility, was actually a superpower. They were able to make connections that I never would have seen.
Wow.
And it led to some really, really innovative solutions.
So it was actually a strength in the end.
It really was, yeah.
That's amazing.
And I think that's a perfect example of how neurodiversity can enhance creativity. Problem solving, like, it's like bringing a different set of lenses.
Yeah, it's like having a different perspective on things.
To the table.
Which is always valuable.
So then what can we do?
Yeah.
Like, as individuals to create a more inclusive and neurodiversity affirming world.
Well, the source mentions education.
Yeah.
But I think it goes beyond just, you know, reading books and articles.
Okay, so what else?
I think it's about challenging our own biases and assumptions, being willing to listen.
Yeah.
To learn to adapt our communication styles.
And to remember that every individual is unique, right?
Yeah.
There's no one size fits all approach to understanding or supporting neurodiversity.
Just like the ocean is a vast and ever-changing ecosystem, so too is the human brain. And we need to celebrate that diversity, nurture it, and allow it to flourish.
So as we come to the end of our deep dive today, I want to leave you with this thought.
Yeah.
If neurodiversity is like the ocean, then we are all part of its It's intricate and an interconnected web.
Yeah.
Our actions, our words, our attitudes, they all create ripples that spread far and wide.
And those ripples can have a real impact.
So what kind of ripples do you want to create?
That's a great question.
How will you contribute to a world where neurodiversity is not just tolerated, but truly valued and celebrated?
That's something for all of us to think about.
Yeah, and to act on.
Absolutely.
So thank you for joining me on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
I hope it's given you some food for thought.
Me too.
And some inspiration to make a difference.
And to keep exploring this fascinating topic.
And to our listeners, thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Take care.